Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
This is Phil Neese saying happy trails until we talk again later on WRCO FM 100.9 in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Have a great day. We'll check in with the ABC News update and then bring in some community friends as well on our morning show get together today. The news at 9 is sponsored by the Phoenix Center. Family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. President Trump's back in Washington because of the Iran-Israel attacks, having left the G7 summit in Canada earlier than expected, and so did ABC's Mary Bruce traveling with him.
Trump telling reporters there on Air Force One that he decided to race back to the White House so that he could, quote, be a little more well-versed and not have to rely on phones as he navigates this crisis.
In Tel Aviv, ABC's Ian Pannell.
A mass exodus from the Iranian capital following warnings from President Trump and Israel. Huge lines of cars, bumper to bumper on the road out of Tehran.
One of the worst Russian air attacks on Ukraine's capital happened overnight. Drones and missiles killing at least 14, say Ukrainian officials. Makers of many things to eat, including cream cheese, Jell-O, Kool-Aid, and Lunchables, the Kraft Heinz Company announcing it will not launch any new products in the U.S. with artificial colors effective immediately. The company says it's already removed the coloring from 90% of its products. This is ABC News. A legal setback for the U.S. chief executive, ABC's Lionel Moise.
The Trump administration has been ordered to restore hundreds of research grants related to diversity. A judge says the National Institutes of Health used an arbitrary process to illegally cancel the grants. He blasted the government, saying racial discrimination and discrimination against the LGBTQ community was behind its actions. Administration officials argued the research placed ideology over science.
Total deaths from weekend flooding in West Virginia, at least six. The governor says at least two people remain missing. This man and a family friend started to clean out two storage garages across the street from their home.
My wife called me, actually sent me a text because I didn't answer the phone, I was working, and told me that we were being flooded and the trailer washed away and cars were floating by with people in them and they were bouncing off the garage.
And cleanup continues in West Virginia. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's certainly true at the Phoenix Center, a longtime favorite in Richland County. It remains the go-to destination for bowling, great food, and lasting memories. It's where friends gather, laughs are shared, and good times roll, literally. Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center continues to serve up favorites like their legendary pizza and friendly atmosphere. Call 649-7469 for more information or carry out at the Phoenix Center.
It's your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch, sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. You don't need 20% down to get into your dream home.
A high of 84 today, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, some of which could be heavier. Scattered thunderstorms continue tonight, a low of 64. Wednesday, cloudy with rain likely, possibly heavy at times. A few thunderstorms could mix in, and a high of 74. Wednesday night, any showers ending early, then partly cloudy, a low of 60. Thursday, partly cloudy and warm, a high of 83. And 84 Friday, with a 40% chance of scattered thunderstorms.
The House on the Rock attraction is celebrating 65 years of creating unforgettable experiences. Known for its fun environment and unique atmosphere, it offers a wide variety of seasonal positions, with many jobs extending well into the fall. Plus, they're now hiring for an operations manager role. There's something for everyone. For more details, call 608-935-3639, extension 1201, or visit thehouseontherock.com.
This is the big one. The summer savings event you've been waiting for is on now at Town & Country TV & Appliance. Save hundreds on your new appliances or televisions. Shop early for the best selection. Visit us online at townandcountryrc.com.
If you're looking for a career that values your hard work, Cardinal Glass CG in Spring Green is hiring. With competitive wages, career advancement, and a 401k with profit sharing, enjoy a clean, climate-controlled work environment and choose from 8 or 12-hour shifts with premium pay for nights and weekends. Earn vacation hours from day one and start building a better tomorrow. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 1024 East Madison Street, Spring Green, or call them at 608-588-9831.
Need it, but don't need to own it? Rent it at McFarland's in Sauk City. Everything to help make your party or project a success. Tables, tents, tablecloths, treat machines, and more. Rug cleaners, floor sanders, tile cutters, and chainsaws. McFarland's is your one-stop project center for DIY home renovators. It's all here under one roof. McFarland's, your complete and replete, I repeat, rental center. One block south of Highway 12 at 780 Carolina Street, where service is a family tradition.
Savor the flavor with Richland Family Restaurant, proud sponsor of WRCO Studios.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. Our morning show today open, and we have a guest wandering into the studio. It's Jeff Campbell, Riverdale District Administrator. Good to see you, Jeff.
Yeah, it's good to be back here, and I appreciate the monthly kind of rundown that we have through the Riverdale School District. And it's nice to be back. The kids are all packed up and on their way, and enjoying the start of summer school.
Around the school, it's probably a little quieter, isn't it?
We had about a day. We had about a day there on that Monday after school ended, and then our summer school program kicked off right away. I would say if it ever can be quiet around a school, that's probably the best time. Since that time, our summer school is off and running in the mornings and then the afternoons. But got a lot of projects and things that we're working on and moving forward here into the new school year.
Well, let's cap off the 2025 school year. You know, I think it was a successful one again this year at Riverdale, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. We came in with a lot of unknowns as far as administrative team. We had a new two new principals, myself in my role, and then our special education director in her role. But things really went well, I think, this year. I think we gelled together really well as a team from the beginning, and that kind of helped carry over into our staff. And we do really put on a focus of building relationships, which will continue into this next year. But that was like the one main focus. We didn't try to throw on a lot of different things onto our staff as far as curriculum wise or anything of that nature, because we needed some time to get to know each other. The kids need some time to get to know their new leaders, and that was a good choice, because I think a lot of people just took that time to really know who they were working with. And once that happened, and you kind of it's by fire, you know, you're in there and the kids come in and you got to go. And being first with some of the first year administrators we had, they did a good job. They got to know the kids, they got to know the families, and everybody seems really content with the hires that we have in those roles. So they're just great people, and I think it rolled right with that relationship building, because they took it on themselves to do that with the staff and students in each building too. And then we just had I think you talk about the summer and you talk about the recap and why things go really well, is we just have some great people that work there. My office, in the district office, we have Leah Babel and Mindy Cradwell, just do a phenomenal job, and they've been there a long time. So this year I really relied on them quite a bit, and it's a big reason why we were able to have a successful year. Our office staff at the junior high high school, Becky Mee, Sherry Troxel, they've been there a couple years in those roles. I worked right with them. Helping a new person come in and make that transition was really well. And then also at our elementary with Sarah Williamson, has been there a couple years now. And then Judy Makovic, who we had on here, she's been at Riverdale since the 60s. So to have those people kind of helping make the transition, that makes a big difference. And then you look at the changes we didn't have, Tim Redman in the maintenance department and Peggy Post in our food service department. Those people weren't new. So, you know, you're really... Really, in my role, I depended on them a lot this school year just to kind of get the grasp of how to handle the entire school all together. So, you know, those people are people behind the scenes. You don't hear of them much, but they make our school run day to day. So we really appreciate what they've done and made 2025 a great year.
You have a good combo on staff of people that are not originally from the area, but people that are. And I had an administrator many years ago tell me, well, when we hire, we like to always bring in outside people because they have new ideas. But I think there's, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but you've always kind of gone with the hometown people, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Kind of the people that we're comfortable with within our district that knows, you know, our district. It's nice to bring in some new ideas here and there from the outside, from different places. But you also have that time that they need to get to know the place a little bit. We kind of pride ourselves on that because we want our staff to understand as you work your way through the district that we appreciate your work and we like to kind of reward you if that's an area you want to go into, that you have that opportunity. And I've always appreciated that at Riverdale. I've had that opportunity at least to interview for positions within the district and kind of looking internally. And that's kind of the board has been that way too. You know, a lot of the open positions, we always post internally first. And if somebody wants to take that position, that's always a kind of a step up for them or a different change that they want. And I think that's what keeps our staff to Riverdale a little bit more, is understanding they are willing to grow their people from within. And I think, you know, it's not just I'm here for a couple of years and I'm gone kind of a stepping stone thing. We have an investment within the district. And when you hire those people, they have an investment in our district as a whole.
That's a good point. It seems like how fast the year goes. You were in here last summer with the two Sarahs, you know, talking about the new school year. And here it is a year later, right?
Yeah, it sure is. And they did a phenomenal job. I just, you know, both being first-year principals, not an easy task. Sarah Pleckelman's been in the district for a number of years, probably as long as I have, I think, or a little bit. It might have been a year longer than me, 11 years in the district. And she was... you know, went from the high school level down to the elementary level. It's a big jump. It's not an easy jump, but she did a great job down there getting to know the kids and the families. And then Sarah Gruen, coming from Royal, has just blended into our district so well. Very, very happy with what we were able to get with administration for those two roles. And it's, it's interesting to see because it's like the Sarah thing we had to work out. I had to work out that somehow, you know, figuring out who's who when we're in meetings saying Sarah's going to do this. Got confused a couple times, but we're in good shape. But it's just, you know, Sarah's been a popular name in our district. We have a number of teachers, Sarah, and it's just trying to work that around. I guess that's what you have to be to get hired at Riverdale. But they, you know, they did a great job, and they progressed us forward as a district, and that's what we were looking to do.
Spring sports went quite well, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I felt like our softball team came together towards the end, really had a nice year. They had a nice young group of individuals that, you know, pulled through towards the end, won a tournament game there, and then went down and lost to Mineral Point, who ended up at the state tournament. So I guess if you're going to end your year, then you ended the team that made it the furthest. And then they'll be looking to come back next year with most of their team back, which will be a good year for them. And then the baseball team had a nice solid year, just a little bit under 500. Once again, a young group that loses a couple seniors, but comes back. I think 6 to 7 starters will be back for them next year. So good group there. And then track closed out with a state qualifier. We had Kaylee Carter advance in the pole vault, which was exciting too because she actually finished 5th at the sectional, but such a loaded sectional for her. I know she had the state champ in there for sure and a couple other people that ended up on the podium, and she kind of had to wait for those extra qualifiers to come out because her height was good enough just to be able to qualify for the state tournament. So tough sectional there, and just kind of shows how tough that sectional was. We weren't able to qualify anybody else, but had a number of good performances. And the exciting thing is pretty much we do lose one individual off one of our relays, Riley Beers, who did a great job on one of our top relays this past year. Other than that, all those people come back again next year. So we're looking for a lot of great things. That was Kaylee's second trip to state, and in the pole vault, it just always surprised me. I got a chance to go down there and watch her, and it just surprised me what she can do. She's you know, not the tallest person in the world, but can really vault like any of them down there. And you could see she really belonged there. So good for her, and she'll be looking for a third time next year, along with, I think we'll have another number of group of people that will make it down there next year.
Does Riverdale have a trap shooting team?
Yeah, we do. So we co-op with Highland with this. It's school, or as far as using our name, it's not really school affiliate. They use the trap club in town, but we recognize it because it's a great program for our kids, and we recognize it as far as in, you know, any accolades that they end up having, advertising for sign up, things of that nature. And our trap shooting team came back as state champs this year. They were close last year, but pulled it out this year. Just a tremendous program for our kids to get involved in. We have a number of kids that are involved in that. We had two individuals, Taryn Miller, who finished second in the girls division, and then Jordan Bumpkamp, who was second in the boys division. And last year, he actually had won the top position for our trap shooting. So great job. Greg Miller helps organize that along with a number of other people. He's usually the contact that we have through the trap shooting program and kind of keeps us up to date. And so we want to recognize those kids for the great job they've done. So another avenue that kids are going out to and succeeding in at Riverdale.
It's amazing when you see the numbers, like how many times they hit the target or whatever. You know, I'd probably maybe luckily hit it once. You know?
That's what I'm always amazed. I think I saw Jordan last year when he won his title, and I was like, man, and he was like, oh, I missed a couple here and there, and I was like, phew. I'm like, yeah, just a couple. I'm like, out of 100 times shooting, that's a couple's interesting. I'd be a lot lower down that route, but good group of kids that competed on that championship team, and I knew they had a shot this coming year to do that, and they were able to pull it out this past weekend.
The FFA state competition, the convention went on last week. Riverdale had some students there, right?
Yeah, we did, and I know probably don't have everything that went through, as Callie was just getting back and she's rolling into tractor safety already. So I didn't get to talk to her about the entire convention, but it sounded like it went really well. I was able to get a couple things that they were able to receive for awards, and some of this stuff is kind of the first time we've had a student at this level. So they are exceeding expectations in that program and continue to build. They did receive the Pride Award, which is promote, recruit, inspire, develop, and educate, and that was for that for our district. There were a number of area school districts have received that, and it's just good to show that FFA is strong in this area. Jordan Bumpkamp was third overall in a diversified egg production. He was the section winner in two other areas, but third overall in the entire state. So you talk about him on the trap shooting side of things, where he was second overall, and then he was third overall in that area within the entire state, and that's out of a lot of kids, Bruce, in that. We had five state degree recipients. This is the highest degree that's given at the state level for FFA. And then we had actually two representatives on the panel that select the next FFA officers that we have. So, you know, a lot of involvement within our FFA. So even having those two people, they're having a say in who's going to lead the entire state, you know, in FFA in the future. And just proud of that program and proud of those kids for representing Riverdale. And we had a number of other kids that were down there that participated in things. things. It's good to get your name out there in a number of different areas.
Carter Dagenhart was in the studio with us prior to going, mm-hmm. too. I know, and I believe he's the president. He's an officer, for sure.
The president that will be moving in as the president now through the new leadership team. And they do some neat things. I know Callie's talked about that, where they take kind of a retreat, a leadership retreat, where just the leadership team kind of plans out the year. And that's kind of neat. You get away from everything. They stay overnight kind of at a campground, and then they spend that time just themselves kind of planning out what their year is going to look like. And they take a lot of ownership in that. She's more of a guide with it, and it's nice to see those kids making those decisions. So a lot of activities we do FFA-wise through the school year is, you know, it's from student voice and student-led. So that takes a little bit more ownership into it, too, and pride into it. So, yeah, just a lot of neat things that at that age they're getting the opportunity to be part of.
What about summer school? I think you mentioned that. It's underway in full force,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah, it is. We had one of our highest number of kids participation levels this year, up in the 160s for this year for summer school. And really, the turnaround was quick, so we really appreciate the staff that was willing to come back. A lot of times the staff needs maybe a week just to kind of recharge, get themselves ready. But our staff was jumped at the opportunity so that we could give all these opportunities to our kids. We have a number of staff members that anywhere from kind of game-oriented to education-oriented activities for our kids. But the kids were excited to be back. It was like even one day out, and they talked about it. I talked to Sarah Pleckelman a little bit about it, and she said just the excitement they came in with, you know, that first day back, and just wanting to be there again. It just kind of puts a smile on your face knowing that they're coming there, you know, on their own accord now, not because the state says, hey, you need to be here. But they're excited to be there, and then they're excited to be back. It kind of talks about the relationship building we do. But Larry Swigum was our summer school coordinator, which allows the administrative team to kind of focus on some other tasks. And he put together our entire summer school program. And it's kids from, you know, from the 4K level all the way up through 11th and 12th grade with our morning workouts that we have that kids are participating in summer school.
That used to be disciplinary. And back in my day, it's not anymore, is it?
Not really. No, we still do have a credit recovery part of our summer school.
Okay.
Where kids can come in and gain that opportunity to gain those credits back. That part is still going on too, but more at our elementary level, it is that way. It's an opportunity for the kids to continue to grow. We'll have our jump start, which will begin towards the end of July and run into August. That's more for kids that want to get a jump start onto the school year, so we don't hit that summer slide as much coming into the fall testing period. But I think that's always it's a jump start part, but it's a enjoyable part too for the kids and the teachers to kind of take things. It's not really a sit down and you're going to work on these sheets or do this. It's a fun way of getting kids involved into jumpstart into school. And then our 4K kids get their first opportunity with school. So they'll come in an entire week in a small group. Each kid will take 1 week, and it's nice because it gets them a little adjusted to school in a little calmer time than when everybody comes rolling into school at one time.
You have to be proud that Riverdale was recognized. You won an award this last year.
Yeah, we did. This just came out from the DPI. It's something that they used to do before COVID and now have started up again. And this, we are a school of recognition. So with the school of recognition from the Department of Public Instruction, this was our elementary school and our junior high. Couple different categories that you have. I think there are 90 schools total in the state that received some type of recognition for this with the DPI. We were in the area of recognition for strong academic performance, student growth, and closing achievement gaps, and just helping with a high economically disadvantaged population. So we're doing all of those things with some kids that may have been kind of put behind the eight ball early on with their economics and their living situation. So the DPI was very acknowledge these schools, and there are a couple others in the area, area school districts that also received this recognition or in a different category. And it's just nice to see in Southwest Wisconsin, once again, just the ability of districts around here and schools around here to get the recognition they deserve.
That's more important than any sports win or anything, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. It just shows that it's another thing that our staff can kind of feel proud of at the end of a school year, knowing that they're putting the time and it's making a difference, and you're being recognized by the state association for the differences you're making. You know, in our high school earlier this year was a top 20% high school in the nation, so very, very good accolades for our staff, and I think it says well because we've got, you know, the majority of our staff coming back next year, and they feel comfortable working in that environment, and they're producing results for our kids, and our kids are growing, and that's really why you do what you do, is you want to see those kids grow and develop into young adults at some point.
I think that's what you want, and I think whenever I've attended anything at Riverdale Schools, I get the impression that it's a real family atmosphere, and I think that has to be one of the reasons why you have success, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, it is. It's the family dynamic. The kids come in, the kids are excited to be there, the staff's excited to be there, and we're kind of all pushing for one thing. It's just the development of kids. I think these kind of things, you really don't go into it, you know, to be recognized by DPI and that stuff. Those things come along because you put the time and effort in. And it is a family atmosphere, and it's everybody's kind of has each other's back and is just willing to kind of put in extra time for the kids. And we have a number, our staff just does that on a daily basis. And that includes our cooks, our custodians, our bus drivers. I mean, those bus drivers, they're the ones that meet those kids at the first part of the day and get them off to that good start, and just the relationship we have with our families too. And I think you can draw everybody in. Our families are very comfortable with what we do as a school district, and we'll continue to do those things to help our families and our students.
You did transition, or you are, to another transportation supervisor, correct?
Yes, yeah. So we got to bid farewell to Pat Clark. On June 30th be his last official day at the district. He's enjoying some time right now, I think, away, using up some of that vacation that he never had the opportunity to use. I mean, that tells you another thing, too. A guy that puts 40-plus years into the district, really had a great working relationship with Pat all the way from when, you know, my family, when we went to school there. Pat was the guy we called at the bus garage, and you know, my family always had great respect for him and the job he did, and then rolling through and being able to work with him in a couple different roles as dean, as principal, and now as district administrator. I just have a extreme amount of respect for the guy and wish him well. And he's one guy, you ask him where people live, you know, with computer age now, you're like, you know, what's that address? He'll rattle it off right for you. This family was here, this family was before that. He just knows that things, and that shows somebody that cares. You know, we got to make split second decisions about, hey, can we combine this route tonight, that stuff. He knows off the top of his head, and he's able to do that. So we welcome Pete in. It was nice to have both of them working together. I think Pete's really done a fantastic job, and Pat's kind of relinquished some of that control throughout the year to Pete, and now it'll be on Pete, you know, to start that next person. I think we said that I think Pat was only the second ever, I believe, transportation director we've had at Riverdale, so now Pete will be rolling in that third, and we expect Pete to, you know, 40 plus years now too for us. So
that's amazing. Yeah, I won't be getting Pat's call anymore if there is a late bus in the Riverdale School
that
District.
Is correct.
There's always
that
Pat
is correct.
That let us know that.
Yep.
So you're right now preparing for the next school year, 25-26.
Yeah, it never ends. You know, it doesn't, and that's all right. I mean, this is the time where we put in when I say we, it's like the administrative team puts in a lot of prep work for the next year, and really this started probably around December. When you're already starting to look at schedules for next year, staffing for the following year, all of that stuff started at that point. So you kind of get the school year off and running, and then all of a sudden you got to turn the page a little bit, and in the back of your mind, always looking at that next year and what's going to happen. And we got our calendar set. We had all that stuff early, you know, after December. And now it's the serious prep work for those in-service days and prepping for class list, getting things organized so that we can kick off a school year. You know, we'll talk in August what that's going to look like. And, you know, this is a lot of our crunch time that we put in so that we do have a successful school year. We'll sit down, we'll look at a lot of the data, and our coaching staff already has done that for us, but we'll look at that. We've got our strategic plan, our goal setting for that. We're actually going to talk about that this afternoon and start to set some of those main goals that we want for 25 and 26, but I'm excited about it. I'm excited for kind of we'll be way ahead of where we were last year at this time, and we're able to kind of progress quickly quicker in the next school year. So I'm really excited to get going with this work this summer and with the administrative team we have all on board again. And we can just kind of kick off. Instead of in July getting to know each other, now we're going to be ready to roll and really get into that goal setting process.
Excellent. Well, good luck with that. We appreciate you coming in as always, Jeff.
Yeah, you bet. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Jeff Campbell joining us, Riverdale District Administrator. We'll see you in July, and we'll see if you're still relaxed then.
I should be. Always am.
More coming up on the morning show. We'll talk about the Hillsboro Dairy Breakfast this week. That's next.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Life is filled with decisions, some required and some optional. And then there are decisions we make by making no decision at all. I'm Nick Hodge of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to gift yourself and your loved ones by making the decision to plan your final wishes. Decide today to make that decision. We'll be glad to support and help you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service. You can start that journey at prattfuneralservice.com.
Attention Richland Center. Rockwell Automation is hiring second shift positions starting at over $24 an hour. What makes Rockwell different? 6 weeks of paid time off your first year, a $2,500 sign-on bonus, and benefits that start day one, not after 90 days. We offer a clean working environment, overtime opportunities, 401k with company match, and real paths for advancement. Rockwell Automation has been part of this community since 1971, and we're growing again. Visit rockwellautomation.com/careers and search for Richland Center, or stop by any Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. for an on-the-spot interview. Rockwell Automation, where talent meets opportunity, where we meet you.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide. Enter the Real Results Yield Challenge and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
I've always loved space in football. Growing up, some people told me I had to choose. But here's the deal. You can be great at more than one thing. And getting involved in STEM opens up your world to a universe of opportunities in life.
This is my time.
Get inspired and get involved today. There are STEM programs and science centers available in your community. So be sure to check out spaceforall.us to learn more and get started.
This is my time. There ain't no doubt in my mind.
Find your place in space.
This is my time.
Space for All.
We'll be right back.
On our morning show today, we're going to talk about the 44th Annual Hillsboro Lions Appreciation Dairy Breakfast. They're all set for the activity and welcoming in the public. Carl Baller and Barb and Bob Potter are in the studio representing that organization. Carl, it seems like the years go by pretty fast, but here you are again talking about it.
Yes, it does seem like as we were talking that it was just yesterday. And where does time go? And I started working on this beginning of the year, and now it's just almost here.
I'm guessing, you know, you've been doing 44 of these. It kind of sells itself a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, that's true. And we on the way over here, we were talking, and I think I've been in charge of their breakfast at least 10 to 15 years. And I've seen it grow, and I always look forward to this, and seeing old friends meet new friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea.
You get a lot of people. What's the average attendance? Any way to keep track of that?
Yeah, I keep track every year, and I've seen it grow from maybe 700 people, and we're right around 1,100 plus, and I think it's pretty good for this area.
I do too. Now, is it a benefit for the Lions, or you just kind of do that as a thank you for the people?
Both. We do this just appreciation of the dairy farmers. It's just more of a meet to greet, as I said, meet old friends and meet new ones. But it is also a money maker where we put it back in the community in all different ways. So if someone has cancer, we give them gas cards. Help a group up at the school, or people that are in need of something, fire, and different functions, we just help them out.
You have an awesome location there. We just came by it the other night, but it's easy, accessible, handicap accessible, a lot of things going for it, right?
Right. The firemen did a good job putting that whole facility together several years ago, and they are fun to work with. Letting us use the facilities is just thank you, thank you. And yeah, easy in and out. Yes.
Not only is it good food from 7 to 12:30, but you have some crafts and activities. I think we want to kind of talk about that a little bit today as well.
Yes, yes, we do, and Barb will talk to you about that.
All right, Barb, so you're up next.
I'm up. Well, we get a lot of people that come. They do want to eat the breakfast, too, because it's so delicious, but they want to see the crafts because we try to get as many people as we can coming with their items, and the good thing for them is we don't charge them anything. They have to bring their own tables and chairs and, of course, their crafts, and we get some fantastic crafts that you just don't see anywhere else, and they know they've come, you know, several years in a row, and they sell a lot of the things that they make, really different things, they love it because they're making money, and people love it because they're getting some unusual crafts that they wouldn't find anywhere else. So the craft show is a big event at the Dairy Breakfast, alongside of the food, of course.
Right. It's a big draw because people can come for the breakfast. They can spend a lot more time there just
right.
kind of looking through all the crafts during the day.
Oh, yeah, too, so. Yeah. And we have a silent auction, and people can bid on those things and win them. I won a couple things a few years ago, and that's really cool, too. I bring some of my own crafts, and, I get some of my family members coming, and we pretty much fill up that whole barn between the food and the and all the different crafts that we get. So it's really a big event, and people love to come to it, especially because there's just so many good things to do there. A couple years ago, we had a chicken or a rooster, and it was laying eggs, and the people just loved that. The kids loved it, actually. I don't know if we're having that this year, but yeah, the food is very, very good, and the crafts are also just really, really wonderful.
Is there room? Is there space if somebody's out there and wants to be a vendor, or is that all full?
Right now we still have space. We tell people if it's not raining, they can also be outside, and a lot of people like to do that because you've got all the people walking down the area to get into the breakfast, and so they're going past people that have their tables and all their crafts set out there, so they feel like that's a better space, as long as it's not raining, to show people what they have when their crafts. So, when I try to get crafters, they want to know how many people come to the dairy breakfast, and it's like, we get a lot of people because they know we have the best breakfast in the area. Mm-hmm. We have things that other dairy breakfasts don't carry. And then of course the crafts, we try to get unusual things along with your regular crafts. Some people make big cookies and cakes and bring those, and that's always a big hit because they're good things to eat. And I remember one year this lady knew that Carl liked cakes, and she brought him a cake just for him.
Wow. VIP treatment, Carl.
Yes.
How far of an area do you draw vendors from then, Barb?
Oh, goodness. Well, we try to go to craft fairs all over, and some of these people, especially when they hear that they're not going to be charged, because most craft fairs, they charge people $30, $40, $50 just to be there, and since we don't, they're very happy to come. They just have to bring their own table and chairs, and oh goodness, we have people that come from the Dells, and again, when they hear that it's a free event for them, they don't have to pay anything to bring their things, they love to come to it, and they always do pretty good because we don't ask the same vendors like maybe somebody who's selling Tupperware. We only get one person who's doing Tupperware, etc. Blankets, and we just want to have a big variety of those crafts for people to come to, and they do love to get all that stuff. I love to get it. Unfortunately, I buy too much because it's just unusual. You just don't see all these kind of things just anywhere, especially at a dairy breakfast. So we're very proud of that.
Bob, what is your area of expertise here concerning the breakfast?
I get to wash dishes.
There you go.
I look forward to that all year. However, last year, I had some kind of weird physical thing going on after setting up the day before the dairy breakfast. That evening I was feeling bad, ended up being taken to La Crosse by ambulance, so I tell everybody that was all a scam to get out of washing dishes.
That's a hard way to do it, though. My goodness.
Yeah, it was okay. I don't know, some kind of bug or whatever. So I guess with any luck or maybe bad luck, I'll be there washing dishes again this year.
Well, we'll hope so. Are you involved in the flea market or anything like that? Do you help out?
I try to help. You know, Barb and I are transplants from the Chicago area. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to find Hillsboro when I retired. So we try to get involved. The way you meet people and we have fun and get it done. That's my motto. Right now, we're working to raise funds for HOPE, H-O-P-E, which stands for Helping Our People Every Day. It's a cancer support group, very worthy cause. They have an annual HOPE walk, which is coming up soon.
It was
this Friday. And it's heartwarming to see everybody in town show up at this event to help the people affected by cancer. And, you know, most people are affected in one way or another with cancer. So, other organizations are out there selling things, offering services sometimes to raise funds. And what the Hillsboro Lions do is we have these things called the flying pigs. They're wooden, really cute little pigs with waggly tails, and they're probably four or five sets of these. A set would encompass It would be a mama pig and a couple of little baby pigs. We take the pigs and put a set in somebody's front yard. They come out in the morning, they see these cute little pigs, and it's got a little note inviting them to make a contribution to Hope, should they wish, and then we move it on to the next yard. So the pigs have traveled all over the Hillsborough area, and people are very very accepting, very kind to help out. So we raise a good amount that we can give to the Hope organization.
That's wonderful. What are the hours for the Hope Walk on Friday? Are you aware of that or when it runs?
Doesn't it start at 6, Carl?
Till 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Carl has been the moderator for the Hope Walk. There's music.
Well, you can win a lot of stuff there. There's auctions. And the motto of the Lions is we serve. And we do. We really give a lot of different things to people that are in need in our area. And it's very heartwarming. People are very grateful for getting gas card, things that they need when they've got problems, their house burned down, or the cancer part of it and all.
That's a wonderful thing that the Lions do. And as you mentioned, you guys are transplants. And where you came from before, they probably didn't have organizations such as the Hope organization, some of those.
Well, they do. Of course, Lions are worldwide, but
right.
We came from a little town next to Joliet, Illinois, called New Lenox. When my first wife was dealing with cancer, the organization, similar to Hope, provided a hospital bed for her comfort and various, you know, things like that that made it easier for her. So I certainly appreciate, you know, on a personal level, what Hope does. One of the most moving things about the Hope Walk is the luminaries that are sold. People can purchase a luminary, I believe it's $5, and they're placed around the track by the Boy Scout troop. When it gets dark, they're lit, and Carl reads off the names of the people who are being honored or memorialized with the luminaries, and it's a very touching moment. What is it, Carl, that they release balloons with?
Somewhere during the evening, yeah, they do.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's a great tribute. So basically, it's a busy weekend for the Lions coming up, isn't it, Carl?
Oh, all around. We're getting close to the end, getting ready for breakfast, so I feel like I'm going to be ready. But it's going to be a full weekend. Saturday, a bunch of us will be down there getting things set up, and then come Sunday morning, hey, the grills are going to be going.
Let's talk about some of the activities, because it's just not eating and looking at crafts either. You got a lot of other things going on, Carl.
So true. Well, starting out Sunday morning from 9:30 to noon, we got the Warner Creek Bluegrass Extravaganza. And then from, but then at 7 to 9:30, we got the Little German Band. The FFA will be doing egg awareness activities, displays, petty zoos, some contests going on. The Hillsborough Hotshot 4-H, they'll be serving ice cream. Hillsborough Equipment, they'll have some tractors and big machinery on displays. One thing we started out last year, and it's the second year, is a medallion hunt. And to see the clues, you can get on the Hillsborough Lions Facebook page or the Hillsborough Center Enterprise There are a total of 3 clues being out. So the second one was just given this past week, and I haven't heard if there's a winner yet. But there's a medallion hidden in some place in Hillsboro. But the main thing, of course, is the breakfast. Serving will be from 7 to 12:30 at the Hillsboro Fireman's Park. The request for donation is adults $10, kids 10 and under $3. Serving will be pancakes with homemade maple syrup, scrambled eggs, sausage, hash browns, donuts, applesauce, milk, coffee, orange juice. We'll have string cheese, we'll have cheese curds, we'll have cheese slices. We'll have other things for you to put on your pancakes and scrambled eggs. And we'll have the Hillsboro Boy Scouts will be there to help people that have to carry your food to the table.
And coffee, yeah, they come.
And they also will go around and, hey, you need more coffee, milk, water, whichever you want. And they've been a big plus, and with what they do, our customers really appreciate something like that.
You got a lot of civic organizations helping you out. The Hot Shot serving ice cream, I saw that as well.
Yep. Gunderson Hospital, they'll be there doing blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Glucose.
Yeah, they check your sugar. And
then I think you can walk through... Oh, sure. What was that display? It had a big display there. Walk through the colon.
Oh, yeah.
They had a big colon there last year.
I think they're going to have that again,
and
yeah.
That will be there again, and I had to walk through it, and I thought, wow.
That is interesting. I don't know that I've heard that before, so we'll have to check it out.
It was new last year, yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
I think the reason we get so many people coming to our dairy breakfast is because we have such a variety of things. I mean, the food is delicious, and there's a lot of different things you can get. And, of course, the crafts, that's a biggie. The dishes get washed beautifully by Bob here, and everything is clean, and we do get a very decent amount of people coming because they know they've been to it before. Mm-hmm. When church lets out, we get a big crowd coming in.
Yeah, it sells itself. I thought you used paper plates, so you still have to do dishes, huh, Bob?
Well, mainly trays. Carl was being modest when he started out and said he has seen the breakfast grow. The breakfast has grown because of Carl. He makes sure that every year is better than the year before. You know, we've tried a lot of different activities. We even had a people-powered tractor pull for a few years where teams of people from various organizations would pay for the privilege of pulling a tractor over a 100-foot track. And the shortest elapsed time won a prize. So, you know, we try different things, and and it's better and better every year.
You guys do a lot of things during the year, too. Bob, would you care to mention some of the other Lions activities that that Hillsboro puts on?
One thing coming up as well in July will be the we honor first responders, police officers, the paramedics and firemen, by putting on a free steak dinner for these first responders and their families. So we want to make sure that they know that we appreciate their work. We have breakfast with Santa in December. Again, that's something that Carl has headed up. He's a busy man.
Bingo. We do a wonderful bingo.
Oh, yeah. During, not so much in summer, but during the winter, fall, and spring, we do bingo, and that draws a lot of people. have a fun afternoon on a Sunday, and we have progressive bingo where prizes have been as much as what?
1,200
was the biggest one so far. And it keeps people sharp. You know, playing bingo is one of those things that as we get older, we want to keep using our brain and memory. And many of the people who attend bingo benefit that way.
And we have the food. We invite groups from Hillsboro who would like to serve food. And, oh, we get some really yummy things there. And people can go have their lunch. And it's good. Unfortunately for me, I don't need to eat all that food, but it's just delicious. So bingo is a fun thing, especially, you know, in the wintertime when, what are you going to do? You know, right. Go play in the snow or whatever.
Gives you something to do.
Yep.
Can I find some bargain Sunday at the flea market then? What kind of things are normally there, Barb?
Oh, goodness. We try to get just different things. I think I said before, we don't get a person or two or three people bringing the same thing. Everything is different at the tables. Of course, one of my favorites is when we get the people making the big cookies for a buck each or a cake, or they do that, and just different things. I think crafters realize, you know, you can go to these craft fairs all over and get things, but they try to do some different stuff every year that you don't see it at other craft fairs. And people are always happy with what they've made. The crafters are always happy that they've made the money that they've made. We never have any trouble getting crafters. So,
well, some of the items out from the crackers, as Barb said, they don't have to pay for a booth space. Just donate an item to the silent auction. And some of those will be goat milk products, crocheted items, doll clothes, wild cow poke clothing, Mary Kay, Pampers Chef, and Norwex are some of the items that will be on the silent auction coming from the vendors. But on top of that, items that I have sent out letters asking for donations will be on the silent auction. And Menards sent me some gloves, tickets to the Dell's boat tours, Fit for Life, a certificate, golfing at Fairfield Hills Golf Course, Pizza Ranch in Baraboo, Springbrook Golf Course, Abra Auto Body and Glass, car washes for there, Milwaukee Pretzel Company. I got certificates for, you can get 20 5-ounce pretzels.
Wow.
Wisconsin Dells, Mount Olympus Water Park, and then a gift card, and then also Mount Olympus Top Secret Building. Milwaukee County Zoo, Whole Chunk Casino in Baraboo, beautiful basket. I can't remember everything is included, but one of them is a one-night stay. The Lodge in Boston with the Wisconsin Winery, the House on the Rock, got the certificate there. And just recently, I got two beach towels out of Pennsylvania. And I know there are a couple other things, so I'm just very pleased with what I've gotten for the silent auction.
I know you couldn't do it without your sponsors. Would you like to mention some of those?
There's a lot of them. People in the community have donated financially towards this, and I don't want to mention all their names because I'm going to miss someone. But those that have or will be, thank you. We couldn't do a lot of this without the community help and the groups that are helping also. And then all our workers that are helping to feed everyone, get things prepared. Again, thank you to everyone. And I know by the time this is over with, I will be a tired little boy.
Especially with so many things going on this weekend.
Yeah, it's a nice thing. I'm retired now, so I can just relax instead of trying to relax at work.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But lots of things to see and do. The ag awareness activities, I think that's going to draw a lot of people as well.
That usually does, yes, yeah. Yes. And FFA does a good job. You know, it's a petting zoo, the games that they're going to have. I don't know what they all are going to be, but hey, kids and adults will enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's a delicious menu and really reasonably priced, Barb.
You know, I think that's the reason that we get the people that we do. It's not just come and eat some food. It's so many different things. The food, of course, is delicious. I try to sneak up there and grab a sausage every once in a while because they're so good. But it's a wide variety of food, a wide variety of crafts. There's just so much to do, and I think the people realize that once they come, it's like, oh, let's go back to Hillsboro, because all these towns have their dairy breakfasts. But yeah, it's a reasonable cost, and you get a lot of food, whatever you want, and I just don't think you can beat it. Of course, we really didn't know about things like this coming from Chicago. We didn't have the farmers that they have up here and all this, so we were greatly happy to take part in all this. We became Lions the first year we lived here, and yeah, this is definitely a wonderful event. You're helping people. The motto, we serve, that's what the Lions say, and they do it in so many different ways, and this is one of them. So I'm definitely looking forward to it, and I know Bob and Carl are too.
You know, one of the things, Phil, you had mentioned earlier is do they do things like that down in the Chicago area? Well, yes, they do. But what sets this apart and is that the various groups in the community work together. You know, we'll have the Women's Civic Club, the Friends of the Library, the firemen, you know, just all these groups cooperate. Get together to make it a community event. We feel very fortunate to have found a place to retire